Mark chapter 13, verse 34. Mark 13:34. For the Son of Man is like a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. And this is in view of the return. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. In view of the coming of the Lord, a responsibility to every man. Now, I realize that this passage is in connection with the Epiphany, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, as we notice in verse 26 of the previous chapter, of this chapter, the 26th and 13th. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And yet, as I think of the passage and the implications, I realize that this is applicable to the coming of the Lord for which we are waiting. For one of these days, what a joy it will be, we'll hear his voice calling us to go into his presence. And in the meantime, he's given to every man his work. Because after all, whether it's in assemblies or on the mission field, there is the individual responsibility. And for this we are accountable, and the Lord is coming. When I think of other portions of Scripture that have to do with the coming of the Lord, like, for example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which is a thrilling passage for us all, the Lord is coming. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When the Lord is coming through the clouds, and he's going to call us up to himself, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be with the Lord from then on. Wonderful joy and expectation that those who leave us, who are dear to us, they're absent from the body, and they're already present with the Lord. Great expectation that we'll all be there before long. But in the meantime, to every man his work. And in this passage in 1 Thessalonians and other passages in Scripture, we haven't time to look at them, notice how frequently the walk, the work, the spirituality, the godliness, the care in individual lives is emphasized together with the coming of the Lord. As in this chapter, for example, this fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, you start out by saying, reading, I exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. And then he goes on speaking about the commandments that he's received, the will of God, your sanctification, to know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor, and honesty with brethren, verse 6. And then on, not to uncleanness, but to holiness, one thing after another in view of the coming of the Lord. For example, in verse 13, at the end of chapter 3, to the end you may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all his saints. And so we have the expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus and its effect in our daily lives, in our yieldedness to the Lord, in lives of holiness. Or as verse 9 says, touching brotherly love, that ye love one another. And in verse 10, that ye increase more and more, the matter of abundantly. As in verse 1, it says, to walk and to please God, you would abound more and more. Growth in your spiritual life and godliness and holiness, subjection to him, and drawing near to him in that fellowship, knowing the loveliness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and reveling in the joy of his fellowship. To every man his work. And his work will be in the accomplishment of that objective and that task which is common to all, and that is in obedience to the Lord's commission for us all, that we preach the gospel, we disciple all nations, preach the gospel to every creature, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that we preach the word of God, that they may hear and be saved. Then we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we teach them the word of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord. And all of this is the task we have and the objective that's before every one of us on a local level and on a world level. And we would be exercised about it. To every man his work. Individuality and spiritual organic unity working together. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12, which is, of course, another passage that's very parallel to this, and we just mentioned very briefly, for our time is limited, mentioned something about every man, his work, and our responsibility before the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We might start by reading a verse. Well, let's read from verse 4. Diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. Differences in administration, the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but the same God who worketh all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. There's some spiritual gift that you have, that I have, that the Lord has given to profit. In what way to profit? To profit in the work of the Lord. To profit in the assembly, to profit in connection with the mission field, whether it be a home field or a distant foreign field. To every man, given to every man. To every man his work. But the man is not launched on his own strength. He is given the manifestation of the Spirit to every man. And might say that the dividing to every man severally as he will in verse 11, by the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I don't know what your ministry is, what your special gift is, but it's good for you to consider your life before God and find out what your special gift is from the Lord. The Lord's given us all responsibility. He divides to every man severally as he will. The Lord has given us different gifts, different responsibilities, but the purpose, our objective is one, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in our local communities, in our neighborhoods, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And it's by the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know that from Acts 1:8, that they should receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon us. And we have the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. By one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. Jews, Greeks, bond, free, we've all been made to drink unto one Spirit. The same Spirit, one body, baptized into one body. We've been incorporated into the body of Christ when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the body of Christ, and he's given to every man his work. Now, some people have gotten the work in the body, the human body. We've got different works. But notice verse 18. God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. We have a job. You have a job, and I have a job. Every man has his work. And yours is different, perhaps, than mine. But nevertheless, every one of us, every member of the body of Christ, man and woman, has a responsibility and a job to perform for the Lord Jesus in the church. In the body of Christ. And if everyone is functioning, that's fine. There's going to be body growth. And we have a concern. We're affected by the functioning of every part. There's spiritual unity, verse 13. We're all baptized into one body, but we have different responsibilities as the body has different members and the different things to perform. But we are also concerned about one another. Look at verse 25. There should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. One member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You're the body of Christ, and members in particular. When you hurt, I'm hurt too. when I'm on the mission field in trouble, if you understand the thought of the Lord as we being members together of the same body, you're going to be exercised about that too. If you have this information, you're going to be on your knees praying to the Lord. And I know this is true because I can see the results of it in the blessing that the Lord has given in answer to prayer in so many ways. To every man his work, and in the body of Christ, in the local assembly, every person has a responsibility, and we should pay much attention to it. When you're hurt, I hurt, we're all hurt. You and the assembly affect the assembly. You affect the commended missionaries. You affect the body universal. If you suffer, or if spiritually you're hurt, or if you're cold and weak and sinful, we're hurt out yonder in Africa. We are one body, and we're a member of the one body. And you're a commending assembly, and you're on the mission field, one body, we're one. By the same Spirit, and God has given us our gifts that we might function together as one body. The missionary spiritual life, his effectiveness, affects his commending assembly as well as the work which engages him. His spiritual conduct affects the growth of the whole body, affects the home assembly, affects the body universal. The whole body is a spiritual organism. It needs the efficient functioning of every member. And that's how the body, the local fellowship, the local assembly, and the body universal grows. Ephesians chapter 4. Well-known passages, but how very precious to each one of us. Chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the building of itself in love, the edifying of itself in love. Every joint supplies. Every part of the body, even the unseen parts, those that don't come into the headlines, right, and those who do, we all affect one another. And the purpose is spiritual growth. The purpose is growth of the body, and that includes the local church. And while there may be things in the local church that earthworm, perhaps repetitions and cliches and things of that kind that are worrying sometimes, remember that you're there to help that situation too. You're there to do your work, to every man his work. I'll read this again, these two verses in Ephesians. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, who's the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, because God's put us that way. He's the one who's decided what part we are in the body and what our function. Every joint supplies according to the effectual working. That's the thing. Are we working effectually as individuals? Because after all, the body, the union, the united, united in the body of Christ, we depend on one another, and each member has a function to perform. Are you performing the function the Lord gave you to do locally? Because locally you're contributing to the growth of the body worldwide, the body as a whole, universal body of Christ. Not that there's a difference between the universal body of Christ and the local body. We're just a part of the body, and each individual has a part in the body, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the head. But it grows according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, to every man his work. Now, back there in Mark 13, you were speaking about the coming of the Lord, coming with great power and glory, or in the application I'm making it, coming very shortly, it could be, to call us to himself. And we'll see his face as he is and be like him. The joy of seeing the Lord who died for us in all his beauty. And then there'll be joy and constant joy. Well, we don't really have time, and we will attempt it, for the time is rapidly coming to a conclusion. But You know about the judgment seat of Christ? In Bermuda last Saturday, a week ago today, we were in a hotel there, a couple of poor Christians and I, we were having a supper together, and afterwards they showed a moody film to the unknown God. And they showed pictures of Greece. And there are these pictures in the moody film showing various things in Greece. It showed a picture of stones that were there where the judges in the games and the Olympics, the pre-Olympic games, where they judged and gave rewards, the Bema. And you know, when the Lord Jesus comes, they're going to stand before the Bema. We can't tell how soon, but it could well be shortly after the Lord's coming, maybe immediately after the Lord's coming for us. We're going to come and we're going to give account of ourselves to Him. Now, I have down here 5 different aspects of the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Not judgment in connection with sins or being lost, but let's take just one passage, and this has been partially quoted in connection with Paul, the master builder. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The other scriptures you can easily find and read them yourself. But here we have the building, and Paul, who calls himself the master builder. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth on it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, there's the kind of thing you can build on this foundation. If you build with precious stones, and the Lord looks at the precious stone, the work that's been done by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and for God's glory, the Lord looks at it, just makes it glitter with beauty, and the dross is gone, and there it is in its beauty, and it remains to the glory of God and to the commendation of the servant. If you build on this foundation, on the Lord Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, or if you build wood, hay, and stubble, what happens then when the Lord looks at them with his eyes of fire? Wood, hay, and stubble, in a moment, poof, they're gone into smoke. And those things that you put your life on, and you pass the years on, and you haven't laid up treasures in heaven, and you've got nothing there to show for your life, then it's gone in a moment. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's work. It's every man's work. Fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, if it's gold, hay, gold, silver, and precious stones, the fire doesn't affect that. It just cleans to the glory of the Lord Jesus himself. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon it, he shall receive a reward. It's a time of rewards, not a question of salvation. A time of reward for good effort in the games, if you like, as we think about the Bema, but in life and our service for him. But here's the sad part. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss. And he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Of course he'll be saved. He has eternal life. He'll be saved, but so as by fire, like a brand plucked from the burning, but to the glory of the Lord. And you're looking at the Lord's face, and he has there, like in a movie film, he has your whole life that's revealed there as you give inventory and as you give your report, because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and it could be just after the Lord Jesus returns. Yes, you'll be saved, but you may be saved just by fire. You'd be saved, but you've nothing to lay at the feet of the Lord for the life that's given. To every man his work. I'm sure if he comes and finds us sleeping, because that was in Mark 13, you know, that was the problem. Lest he come and find us sleeping. I wonder if we're sleeping. We've got work to do. To every man his work. May the Lord help us not to sleep, but to be up and doing. One more verse. And this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Now, little children, abide in me, in him, that when he shall appear. I hear you're looking for it. Let's read it together then. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. To every man his work. The Lord Jesus is coming, and the bema is ahead. We have just perhaps a very little time. What are we going to do with our lives in view of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, lest he come and find us sleeping and we have lost at the judgment seat of Christ? Or I'm interested in the judgment seat of Christ. Our brother J.B. has mentioned the name of Ezequiel Nguera, Yossi Abruzzo, some of those men of God whom he knows and his father knows, came out and visited us personally, and his mother as well, and so they know them. And when I see some of those people, I feel I'm going to have the privilege of seeing them at the judgment seat of Christ and hear the Lord saying to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, how we seek the Lord's commendation that day as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Well, as we come to the close of another conference, we can say again, the Lord has been gracious to us. And I trust that our hearts have been receptive to all that has been presented to us from his word, whether we're younger believers looking to him for guidance for our service, or elders who have responsibility in these areas in the local church. I suggest that you reread the outline so kindly provided to us by the speakers today, and look up all of the scripture references given. And I'm sure that that will be a very profitable exercise. We look forward to seeing you all at some of the conferences next year, if the Lord tarry, and trust that the Lord will continue to bless each one. We've asked Mr. Jeffers to close our conference with prayer, please.
Shall we bow in prayer? Our blessed God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to Thee for all that we are and all that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our Father, we are all members of the body of Christ. Thank Thee for the privilege we have of working in one with another. We trust, our God, that all of us may be used in the building up of Thy people. We're especially mindful at this time, our Father, of Thy servants and the regions beyond the seas, those that have left the comforts of home and have gone to serve Thee in a different culture, in a different land. We pray Thy rich blessing upon them, our God. We pray, our God, that Thou will let them see some blessing for their efforts, that they might be encouraged, that they might be challenged to carry on and continue to faithfully give out the Word of God to the end that souls will be won to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the New Testament assemblies will be established. We pray for the national believers, our God. Many of them are carrying on now in a way that they never dreamed they would have to. They're on their own now. We pray, our God, that Thou will encourage them and bless them and help them. We pray for our assemblies here at home. Exercise our hearts, O God. Exercise all our hearts with a concern for the spread of the gospel, both at home and abroad. Encourage those that serve as elders to challenge the young folks. Encourage them to go out and provide the means that they may develop the gift that they have, the gift that Thou hast given to them. We thank Thee, our God, again for this blessed time we have had sharing together the things concerning Thy service beyond the seas. We just pray, our God, that Thou will bless every aspect of this meeting today that will be with us for some time to come and challenge our hearts. We pray that as we separate, that Thou will go with us, Thou'll watch over us and care for us, and be with us all, we do pray. And bless us as we assemble tomorrow in our various assemblies to come to worship the One who gave His life for us all on Calvary's cross, and we thank Thee in His own worthy and precious name. Amen.
Personally, I don't agree with that. I feel that anyone who's doing pioneer work and isolated for long periods of time, I'm absolutely convinced he should be married. and have his wife along with him. I think that is important. It's possible to lay down regulations, but when it comes down to practical things, I think we have to look at these things in the face.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen a good many tragedies of people who are isolated for long periods of time and then they have fallen into a trap, had to leave the work. So personally, I believe that a missionary doing pioneer work in isolation should be married and have his wife along with him.
Brethren, there are areas on some mission fields where a man is suspect morally if he's out there alone. So just remember that. Now, did I leave an assistant cut where I've gotten this? Have you got two that I... Are you two, Bill? Can you... Yes. May I have them? No, I'll just do. I think they're very good ones. Could some brethren on the panel give examples of God's call to them to the mission field? Ernest, we don't have... I shouldn't say Ernest. I like to say Mr. from the platform. Mr. Wilson, would you just sketch out very quickly how the Lord led you to the mission field? You had to go to work at the age of 13 in the shipyard, and et cetera, and the shipyard trained you for the mission field, et cetera. Just give us a little bit of that, would you?
There's something about a call that's sacred that it's almost impossible to speak about.